I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, people, welcome into The Memo for this Wednesday.
Hey, people.
What's the date? May 10th?
Yeah.
Well, usually I say, hey, everybody. I'm trying to mix things up.
Okay.
They make fun of me one time for doing the same thing every intro. So.
No, yeah. Nope.
There you go.
No, no.
You did that one time. It's true.
One time.
It's true, stuck Derek. With you.
That's Derek Russell. Well, that was Chris Kiefer, actually. The other guy.
Yeah, don't confuse me.
It's Derek Russell. I'm Brad Locke. Thanks for joining us here on The Memo. On this fine Wednesday, or whenever you're listening. It could be a Thursday. It could be a Friday. It could be a Wednesday in another week. Because that's the beauty of the podcast. Listen to it whenever the heck you want.
It could be so far into the future that they've created an eighth day of the week and you're listening to it then.
We're not the boss of you. Just listen whenever you want.
Why?
Well, why not? It's us.
These are historical findings.
It's Brad and Derek.
Much like bodies in a cemetery.
That's one thing we'll talk about today.
It is one thing we'll talk about today.
Not so much about the bodies as the cemeteries.
I got a feeling we'll probably discuss bodies a little bit too.
It could happen.
I know Thomas Wells pretty well, and yeah. I feel like that will come to the forefront. His in focus from this past week was his trip to a few cemeteries to capture some gravestones.
Mm-hmm.
So also Michaela cool. Morris will be joining us.
Talking about Medicaid and mm-hmm. Obamacare and all that mm-hmm. fun stuff.
Or the lack thereof.
And Bobby Harrison.
Yeah.
Talking about the lottery.
What more could possibly be said about the lottery at this point?
I don't know.
We'll find out with Bobby Harrison Indeed. Today.
I got a new thing.
What is it? Oh, is that a fidget spinner?
It's a fidget. Hey, give it back.
Yes, I've been wanting one of these.
Dude, my wife got it for me over the weekend. My fingernail chewing has gone down by like 90%.
What is it?
It's not a...
It's a fidget cube.
It's a fidgeter.
Fidgeter, whatever you want to call it.
Like a stress ball kind of
thing? Basically, it gives you something to do with your fingers.
It just gives you something to do with your fingers.
Which I need.
In case you fidget. Yeah, I do that too.
Because I'm either chewing my nails or drumming on something all the time.
It's not as fulfilling as I thought it would be.
It is for me. It really does calm me too. Kind of helps with my anxiety. I mean, there's different styles, of course.
Yeah, this is the one I've actually been looking at. I have not pulled the trigger on buying one.
Where do you find this?
I got that one at Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble.
For like $7-$8.
Shoe store has some. This is not the fidget spinner that all the kids have
Yeah, my son just ordered a couple of those.
Well, it'll get taken away from him. It will. First time he uses it in school, somebody's going to take it up. This isn't as satisfactory as I thought it would be.
Well, something's already gone wrong with that little light switch type thing. It's supposed to go both ways. It only clicks one way now. That's annoying. Otherwise, I'm enjoying it.
It's also good for Morse code.
Yes, exactly. My wife says it's less annoying than me.
It's bigger than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was more, not quite the size of a die, but a little larger.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I've been wanting one, but I didn't think it would, like... I'd like it as much as I like it.
Yeah.
So, much of different
things. It's not...
Things.
For $15 or whatever they are, it's not quite the...
I don't know. Personal preference.
I was hoping for.
Well, I found that it really has helped me
now,
keep my fingers
busy. Now, if
you
pretend this button murders somebody you don't like every time you push it, that...
True. Yeah. You have a bunch of different buttons and...
Four people.
Things you can...
That's called a voodoo doll.
Ah.
Yeah.
We know about those in New Orleans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenna would kill me if I had this. That's really the only reason I hadn't pulled the trigger on it. Was I was like, Jenna's going to... It's kind of like having a teacher behind you.
Yeah,
in
pretty
some
much.
Way. I love Jenna to death, but it, you know, in some ways it's like, if I mess with something too much, she's going to come
you
take
don't,
it away
you
from
don't
me
mess
and I get
with,
it back at the end of the year.
And you don't mess with Jenna.
No, I love Jenna.
Yeah.
I know not to get on her nerves.
Yeah. You having fun there?
Kind of. I don't know if I want one or not. Thank you for letting me try it out, though. I've been wanting to. So Barnes & Noble has them.
Yeah, they do. Or they did the other day. And they tend to go kind of fast when they're in.
Yeah, the one I've been looking at is it's kind of like a... It's the exact same thing. It's just kind of like a midnight blue color was the one that keeps popping up on all my feeds.
Yeah.
Then there's the ultimate. It's like a... what are the 10-sided dies called from like Dungeons & Dragons and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
Deca...
I don't know.
I don't know. I never played Dungeons & Dragons. There's
Decahedron?
No, it's...
I don't know what that is.
This is it. Actually, this is a 12-sided one.
No, that's a little out of control.
Yeah.
Huh.
That gives you the availability to do everything.
Pretty much.
I think there might be buttons to, like...
Is that the... Can you use that for time travel?
Yeah, I think like there's... Well, you can hypnotize somebody with that side. There's time travel. It's $70, but there's a discount code for $13.
It's so. Also a juicer.
Yeah. Also does fries and shakes. So. Well, good. Right, I'm cool. Glad you've you got that one. One of the things that, like, on this one, it has sliders, like a sound mixer.
Yeah.
And that nice. I used to do that all the time when I would run sound for stuff. I'd just run sliders up when I got bored.
Yeah.
Until you run the wrong one up and yeah. Somebody's in the back not ready to go on yet and is talking into their microphone. That'll happen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get started.
Okay. Michaela Morris joins us now, our medical/health reporter. How are you doing, Michaela?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Not too bad. I want to talk with you about this story you had in the Sunday Journal, it was, about Medicaid, of course, the whole Health Care Act and the repeal and replace that the Republicans are trying to do up there in Washington, D.C., and you know, a lot of potential fallout from that. But as far as Mississippi is concerned...
It's about more than just people who buy insurance on the exchange.
Yeah. As far as Mississippi is concerned, the biggest fallout would be in Medicaid. What's the deal
there?
Well,
it's... just to kind of put it in perspective, there's somewhere between... 55 and 65,000 folks who pay for their health insurance through the exchanges. More people sign up, but those are the people who put it into force. There are 750,000 people in Mississippi who rely on Medicaid.
Wow.
So while the exchanges are important, and it's important to have that avenue available to people who need to buy individual coverage, or, and it's the law, or to provide mechanisms for folks to buy individual market coverage. Medicaid is a much bigger issue for the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is something that people need to keep their eye on as they watch the continuing debate about repeal and replace.
So the bill, there's a bill that passed the House.
The bill that passed the House.
Right, and it would roll back the ability to expand Medicaid?
Well, yes, it would effectively phase out the federal money for the expansion. But that's not where Mississippi would take the hit.
Okay.
Where Mississippi would take the hit is they have proposed capping the amount of money that the federal government puts into Medicaid. So this really affects more than the expansion that you saw through Obamacare. So these are the people, these are generally poor children, poor pregnant women, the disabled, people in nursing homes who have spent down their money and are now impoverished because it costs $3,000 a month to stay in a nursing home.
Sure.
So in Mississippi, the state gets nearly $3 for every dollar it spends. And the state puts in about $1 billion a year into Medicaid to take care of these folks.
Yeah.
The disabled and elderly account for about 65% of the Medicaid budget in Mississippi. Even though children outnumber them, children are largely healthy and don't usually take up a lot of resources in the system.
Sure, sure.
So if Congress, because, and for good reason, is saying what we're spending in Medicaid is getting in the way of other things we want to do, they want to limit how much is going into this. Because right now, Mississippi... If someone has a qualified service and Mississippi puts in their money, they automatically draw down this money. So it is a commitment to cover all the costs within the program guidelines. What the AHCA would propose is a cap or a block grant, a set amount of money.
Right, yeah.
And the insurance commissioner and other folks in the state are very concerned that Mississippi could be left holding a substantial bill, which, and other states are concerned about this as well, is that you would have substantially less money to cover people. And when that happens, then you end up reducing eligibility and you end up cutting back what you do cover. Yeah. And Roy Mitchell with the Mississippi Health Advocacy is very concerned and sees a lot of impact on individuals being able to get care that they need. He sees potential impacts on hospitals and healthcare providers. Now, to some extent, not for-profit hospitals still have to take care of people when they come and show up. But typically when that happens, when people have to seek their health care through the emergency room as their primary care provider, they come in much sicker, they have poorer outcomes, and it costs more. Yeah. So, and when things cost the hospital more, that means the rest of us end up paying more to cover the costs. So you, but, you know, there may be there are limits to what can be recouped, and you will see hospitals go out of business.
Now, the odds of this bill actually getting through the Senate, I know there are some Republicans and some moderates that don't necessarily support this.
What you have is a much tighter needle to thread in the Senate because there's only they only have two votes that they can lose and still get something passed.
Right.
Additionally, because this is under the reconciliation rules, the parliamentarian will tell them that there are lots of things that they can't do because the rules require them to touch things that specifically deal with budget issues. So if it isn't a budget issue, then it has to be handled under a bill that would they would essentially need 60 votes to get through because this can't be filibustered.
Yeah.
The reconciliation can't be filibustered. So they're because things are so tight. So you've got some real questions. Well, can they be able to come up with a bill that pleases both conservatives and moderates in the Republican Party? And will they come up with a bill that the House will agree to once once they get it through? There's some indications now that Ted Cruz, who has been one of the most conservative voices in the Senate, is focused on measures that would reduce premiums very quickly for folks, that is opposed to a more fuller repeal. So there's lots of moving parts here, and there's lots of things in the House bill that are likely to drop off because they don't meet muster on what they can do under the reconciliation rules, or that it's a non-starter for folks in the Senate.
Yeah, I know one concern with this bill is it has to do with pre-existing conditions, and maybe there's not much of clarity on that.
This is a really tricky thing because the pre-existing conditions can be all over the map. It can, you know, from asthma, heart disease, allergies, they're all over the map. And pre-Obamacare, if you didn't work for a large employer, insurers could either charge you more or deny you outright, depending on the pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
Now, it's a little tricky in this bill because there's been a lot of chatter about it. And then plus, since they were making changes up to an hour before the vote, it's taken some time to figure out exactly what they meant. But specifically, the pre-existing conditions, as I understand it, comes in if you have a lapse in coverage and if your state has applied for a certain waiver, then for the period of a year, instead of just charging people a blanket surcharge for having hadn't had continuous coverage, the insurance companies would be able to adjust your premium for that year based on whatever your pre-existing condition was.
Okay.
Some of this is all, like the individual mandate, is all aimed at making people not wait until they're sick to get health insurance.
Right.
Because if you wait until your house is burning to buy homeowners insurance,
it's not going to work.
Then you would only have people who have house fires in the risk pool, and everyone would be playing to replace a house.
Right, right.
So insurance works by having broad risk pools so that everybody pays in a little to cover what happens.
Right.
Because you don't know who's going to get hit.
Right.
But there are some real questions about once people lost insurance, would they be effectively priced out of ever getting back into insurance?
Okay.
But it doesn't appear that these rules would apply to people with employer-based insurance, although with all the waivers flying around, I think it's worth watching, but at least in the current iteration, it is a very limited set of people who could get tripped up on this. But if you worry about losing your job, or it could keep you in a job to continue to have coverage through a large employer, I think there still are problems with it that'll have to be worked out, especially trying to figure out how do you make exceptions for hardships so that you don't, get people locked out long term. But I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
But like the individual mandate, it's going to be very, very unpopular with both parties.
Yeah. Well, a lot involved with this issue here, and
a lot of moving parts.
Exactly. Michaela did a good job there with her story in Sunday's Journal. You can find it at djournal.com as well. Good stuff as always, Michaela. We do appreciate your time today.
Well, I'm happy to muddy the waters.
Thank you. Be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. Today's episode, though, Gene and Blake are both out, but I have a special guest host, co-host, T. Braden Bishop of Tupelo High School.
So, be good.
Yeah, will be. So listen to it there. Thank you. Ole Miss and MSU fans, you can check out Double Coverage. Parrish Alford, our Ole Miss beat reporter, and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes every Thursday or so, depending on how their week's going. But they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to that for free in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Don't forget, you can also wake up and get ready for your daily routine.
Daily dose of news.
Yeah, your daily routine with the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
Let's talk with Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison from Jackson. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. I want to talk about the state lottery, man. It keeps gaining momentum. We could actually see it show up on the special session agenda here next month. Of course, that session starts June 5th. The main reason they're holding it is to pass budgets for the Department of Transportation, the state aid road program, and the Office of Attorney General. But there now has been a committee formed by House Speaker Philip Gunn to study what a lottery might mean to Mississippi economically. And Phil Bryant has said, Bobby, that it could end up on the special session agenda, right?
Yeah, it's the lottery is kind of the issue that nobody thinks is going to happen, but it just keeps on hanging around. And so who knows? The big news, I think, is that at an event where he was for something completely different, Bill Brown was asked about the special session, and he talked about he would like to include the lottery. He would consider including the lottery as part of the special session, with the revenue from the lottery going to fund transportation needs if the Mississippi Economic Council would get behind that proposal. You know, of course, Mississippi Economic Council has been out front and saying more money was needed for road and bridge issues in the state. But there's no consensus on how to generate that money. And Bryant suggested the MEC should get behind the lottery. And if it did, he would include that in a special session. And the MEC didn't rule out that possibility. Scott Wallander, the interim president of MEC, said that was the issue they were looking at. So who knows? That could be one significant special session if the lottery was included.
Yeah, it'd make things a lot more entertaining, for sure. Yeah. I know Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves has said that he thinks it just should be about getting the budgets done and being out of there in a couple of days, Bobby. So I don't know. It seems like that we don't have the Republicans have control, obviously, of most of the state offices and control of the House and Senate, but maybe not as much consensus, at least on this issue, as far as that goes, because you've got Reeves, who doesn't want to deal with it right now. Gunn, still opposed to the lottery, but is open to at least talking about it. And then Brian has reversed course, and he's like, hey, let's go for it. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there.
Yeah, and of course, Gunn, the House Speaker, who you referred to, is proposing other ways to raise money for roads and bridges. But as you said, Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves is saying, the special session won't be the time to deal with that issue. He just wants to come in and do the budgets that's already been agreed to by the House and Senate leadership and go home. If they did that, they could be out in a day or 2 days at tops. But if they take up the lottery or some of the proposals that Gunn has talked about, they could be there a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk a little bit about this committee. Now, Phil Bryant called it the anti-lottery committee, which is fun. Well, kind of true, because Philip Gunn openly admits that he's hoping to gather information that will disprove the notion that it'll be a boon economically for Mississippi.
Yeah, right. But the committee is made up of legislators and others, head of the State Gaming Commission, George Flagg, the former state legislator who's now mayor of Vicksburg. And the legislators on the committee, you can make the argument that while there's been no definitive, that you could argue there's been really no definitive votes in the legislative process on the lottery, you could argue that up to four legislators on the committee, two are opposed to the lottery, and those two are from Northeast Mississippi, Nick Bain, a Democrat from Corinth, and Matt Huddleston, a Republican from Pontotoc, and the two other members, Bennett. Richard Bennett from the coast, who's chair of the committee, will be chair of the committee. And then another legislator who I'm embarrassed, he escapes my name right now, from over in the Delta. Both of them are probably pro lottery. So I mean, I think that while Gunn definitely doesn't hide the fact that he's opposed to lottery, you could argue that he appointed a committee that would probably look at all the issues and make a recommendation based on what they found on those issues.
And speaking of Tate Reeves, Bobby, I was just glancing at your column that you wrote about Tate, about wearing the role of obstructionist. Well, he's positioned himself as the no man.
Yeah, he does wear that role well as obstructionist. But I do point out that, on a lot of issues, he offers solutions and identifies problems and offers solutions, but he doesn't mind being the obstructionist. And I'm not saying that was right or that's right or wrong with this particular issue, but God knows, sometimes the best action for the legislature is to do nothing.
True.
we all come out better. So, true. So I don't necessarily say that being an obstructionist is a bad thing. On this particular issue, he has become the obstructionist in the sense that he concedes that something needs to be done, and to address infrastructure needs in the state, but he says there's not a consensus right now what to do until that consensus is reached. He doesn't think that's a smart use of time to try to address in the special session.
Does it feel like, though, that the lottery is kind of Mississippi getting a lottery is getting towards the stage of being inevitable? I mean, there's only five other states in the union that don't have the lottery, and as I said, it's gaining a lot of momentum. It just may not be now, it just may be next year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue with that. I mean, probably a year ago, I would have disagreed with that statement. But just the way the process is working and sort of the things lining up, I think you're right. You know, sooner or later, there's going to be a lottery in Mississippi. I mean, as you said, we're on one of only six states without a lottery, and there's just seems to be a lot of momentum on that issue.
Yeah,
and it could turn out, if nothing's happened, it could turn out being a big issue in the 2019 state elections.
Well, good stuff as always, Bobby. And if y'all want to hear more from Bobby and about the possible state lottery, be sure to check out the Capital View webcast we do each Monday. We talked about it this past week. You can go find the replay at djournal.com under the recent videos section. But coming to you live every Monday there around 2 o'clock at djournal.com. Or, like I said, catch the replay later in the day as Bobby gives us some commentary and analysis on all of those issues being debated in Jackson, and with the special session coming up, certainly going to be lots to keep talking about every week there. So thanks again, Bobby, for your time, man. Good stuff.
Cedric Burnett. He's a house member I couldn't remember.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you, right. Bobby.
Good deal. Thanks.
Expert photographer Thomas Wells coming in today. Now, really? Why are you shaking your head?
Really?
Expert. You're not an expert?
Listen, this guy's been at it a long time.
This photo essay says otherwise on Monday.
Yeah.
I expect some of these statues to start moving.
I'm just, I saw those and immediately my mind went to the Weeping Angels on Doctor Who, and I got kind of creeped out.
Oh, I remember those.
Oh, yeah.
Don't blink.
Yeah.
Those are terrifying.
They are.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Did you go out there alone? You went to cemeteries for In Focus on Monday.
Yeah, I've been, every time I'm in a new town or just in a town in general, I like riding through the cemeteries and look because, like mm-hmm. I said, my little copy block, growing up in a funeral home, and we spent a lot of time in the cemeteries, unfortunately, and that was one of my...
I'm glad you didn't, like... Let's be honest, you're not always the best speller.
No.
Sometimes.
No.
But sometimes I wonder if your mind just gets too far ahead when you're writing. I'm glad you didn't say you spent a lot of time in cemeteries growing up, because that's just a weird kid.
It is a weird kid.
I just went to cemeteries a lot.
Yeah. But my mind does get way ahead of my fingers. But, and so there was these games that my brother and I used to play with my dad. Was we would always find the person who was born the earliest,
mm-hmm.
the person who was the oldest,
mm-hmm.
and the first person buried there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how we would kill 3 or 4 hours while my father was either digging the grave or getting the cemetery,
he did the whole shebang. I mean, he went out there and dug it and everything.
We dug graves, and when I got old enough to unfortunately hold a shovel.
Yeah, then you were part of it.
Did
you ever fall in? Please don't ever.
Yes, I did.
You did? Oh, my God, you're cursed.
I lost two wedding rings. In a grave. My father lost a toupee in a grave. That's a funny story. Yeah, he lost his toupee, and he just looked at me and said, yep, we're covering it up. And so we buried the toupee along with the... Yeah, that was... Yeah. Because you didn't just like go in the grave and... Yeah.
Just go buy a new one.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. We have sunglasses fall out of your pocket of your jacket when you lean over to remove the straps. Yeah, like you just...
Things the public doesn't want to know about burials.
It's just, it's kind of like,
we buried your father in about 72 cents in loose change.
Absolutely.
So we'll have enough to get to the other side to pay the toll there.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go to the lake and you jump in the water to go skiing and you forget you leave your sunglasses on. You come up and you go, oh, wow, it's really bright. What happened? And you realize your sunglasses are sinking to the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. We just like not to pull the casket back up.
Okay.
But yes, I have fallen in.
two wedding rings.
Two wedding
Not
rings.
Not just one.
Yeah, two wedding
Didn't
rings.
Learn your lesson the first time.
No.
Lost two wedding second rings. One.
Yes. Didn't tell the wife about the second one.
No, why would we do that? This is all live, by the way, right now.
Chris is listening.
Then I lost the third one What? I lost the third one because I put it in my golf bag and forgot it and couldn't find it for a year.
Did you tell her about? Oh, so you found it?
I found it a year later after she bought me my fourth one.
So she knew about the third one, but she thought it was the second one.
Correct.
If you're playing along at home, if you got bingo on Thomas Wells.
So the rule now is if I lose the fourth one, it's just ready to go get a divorce.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just have one tattooed on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. You just draw with a Sharpie every day at that point. Oh, okay. Well, two wedding rings and a toupee later. You visited some cemeteries for your In Focus this week. Your old stomping grounds.
Several different ones, right?
Yeah, I went every time I was in a town like, you know, Aberdeen, Holly Springs, I really like going to the old ones.
Yeah.
Because the art, people don't realize, you know, back in the 1800s when these people were buried, those were handmade craftsmanship. I mean, some of these are, gosh, literally pieces of art that should be in a museum for all intensive purposes.
Not just headstones. I mean, we're talking about, like I said, the angels and
Some
and
of those angels
are like
7, 8, 9 feet tall. Yeah. You know, and then just some of the reliefs on some of them. Like there's a couple up in Holly Springs that's for the, you know, the Confederate soldiers where they have cannons reliefed off the marble headstones. And it's,
wow.
I can't, you know, that craftsmanship is long since gone.
I went to, Lauren Wood and I were in Water Valley the other day doing a story for Mud and Magnolia, and we visited the cemetery there, which, because that's a railroad town, has some very interesting burials there. But they apparently have a lot of Woodmen of the World employees there, and all their headstones are logs.
Yeah, that's...
Tree trunks.
That's their stick.
Yeah.
Literally. Women of the World, that was her stick. Women of the World is one of the first ones that basically when you had a life insurance policy, that was part of the life insurance policy was they would provide the headstone. And you can you go in any cemetery today, and if you see one that looks like a tree trunk, that's a Woman of the World. That way you knew.
I've seen them before, but just the plethora of them in Water Valley surprised me. There was probably like 15 or 20.
It's crazy. And it's, I mean, they're really neat because I have yet to see two that are exactly the same.
They're all different. Amazing, too.
So, I mean, it's
just tree trunks carved, kind
of. It's crazy. You know, some of them, you know, like there was one up in Holly Springs. It didn't make it in the paper, but I'm sure made it online. Of a little bitty angel for a child. The angel wasn't but about 24 inches tall, but, you know, and it was that one right there, you know, kneeling, sitting at the cross.
Djournal.com.
Yeah, absolutely. make that plug.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, I like walking through the cemetery because you never know what you're going to see in the stories that are on the headstones, and just you look at the dates and you just kind of go, holy smokes.
Yeah. 1800s.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, I came across some that were born in 1812 and buried in, like, 1880, 1890. You think about that. 50 years after the, you know, Declaration of Independence, we've got people living down here.
Yeah. It's,
you wouldn't think that quick after, you know, independence.
Now, do you do the outline? Do you walk around or do you walk over?
I step over.
You step over.
I've always I was always taught that. Don't step on a grave if you can help it.
Yeah.
Step over or around.
Throw all your wedding rings, loose change in there with them as much as you like, but do not step where they're buried.
Hey, you know, it's part of that Egyptian burial ritual just for the afterlife.
Have you seen the 7,000 buried bodies that were unearthed? Or 7,000? Which university was that? It's in the state. It's in Mississippi.
Oh, wasn't that down when they were doing some work for UMMC or something?
Oh, yeah. When they were expanding across the road, they found where the old mental institution was. Yeah.
It's like 7,000.
Unmarked graves.
I saw Poltergeist. Leave those exactly as you found them.
You know, in a lot of old cemeteries, like the one in Batesville where I grew up, there's a huge section where they're unmarked graves, and they were just buried them because of yellow fever. And they just didn't have time to actually, they were just line them up and put them in the ground, and there's this huge section of the cemetery that has no headstones, and they will never use it again because of the yellow fever epidemic. And a lot of cemeteries are like that to this day. You'll see a big lot of land in the old section that's not used. That's what it was. That's where they buried yellow fever.
So that's how the zombie apocalypse starts.
Absolutely.
When you unearth those graves.
Absolutely.
And it gets in the,
that's how it all starts again.
Airstream.
Next thing we know, we got Walking Dead happening.
Yeah. You know, I was in, this kind of brings to mind the thought, okay, you know, that cemeteries eventually most of them run out of room at some point. Now, I was in Washington D.C. a couple of weeks ago on my son's school trip.
Strap them in,
and we went to Arlington National Cemetery, and you know, and most of those graves are just, you know, the headstones that line up, and it looks really, really neat. But then the tour guide said, you know, they're actually having to buy several hundred more acres because they're starting to get close to capacity. But this the new acreage should be able to buy them another 30, 40 years.
Yes, like in New Orleans.
Yeah,
you know,
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, New Orleans, they have the crypts above the ground, and you have family crypts. And what they do is they take the seal off the crypt, and they put you in the crypt, and then after you decompose and the next person dies, they push your remains to the back of the crypt and put another person in, and they just chisel your name on the front of the crypt.
Huh. Yeah, they got to put them above ground down there. You don't want them floating down the street when it floods.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, isn't it? Yeah, that's how they do it, though. That way it saves land. They just put them in a crypt.
Mausoleums,
yeah.
Huh. Every time I go to New Orleans and I pass one of those places, it just...
Man, those things are... Oh, my gosh. I can get lost in one of those things. It is fascinating.
They're fascinating, but God, they're terrifying.
Yeah, well, you know.
You're morbid.
I am morbid.
You grew up in a funeral home.
I used to walk through the funeral home at night with the lights off. And just walk through there.
I love going to cemeteries. That I have no issue with that.
Yeah,
I don't like mausoleums.
I love the wrought iron too.
Yeah, that's a big thing
because people would steal the wrought iron for a while, and because it is heavy and it's good money, but two, just some of the craftsmanship on the wrought iron because that was handmade by a blacksmith somewhere.
There's one. Where was this one?
That's Aberdeen.
Okay. Yeah, the trees behind it.
The big black and white one. Yeah.
Yeah, the big black and white one's in Aberdeen, and that one's. Yeah, that cemetery, you can't really see it in the photograph, but just to the left, outside of the frame, there's a Revolutionary War general buried there. And it's just,
That's the haunted one, isn't it, too? Yep. That's the one with the woman in the wheelchair.
Yes. The woman in the wheelchair is in the other section where the Confederate dead one is.
Oh, that's creepy. Yeah.
She's in a mausoleum, and she's buried. She's sitting in her wheelchair inside the mausoleum. They buried her in her wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
That's like some Bates Motel stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like this, another reason I like the Aberdeen Cemetery is my great-great-grandfather fought in the Civil War at Gettysburg, and his commanding officer of his regiment is buried at the Aberdeen Cemetery. And the reenactors in Gettysburg wanted a picture of the grave and the headstone because it has the history behind Colonel Miller. And so I took a picture of it and sent it to him. Of course, it took me years to find the son of a gun.
Yeah.
But when I found it, it was, it's pretty fascinating.
I don't know why he was in the same place forever.
I know.
He'd move on your
I know. But the problem, even when you go to some of these websites.
Where did I leave that guy?
some of these, kind of hard to find people, because you type in the name, it'll give you about five or six cemeteries, and you just got to start tramping around the cemetery to try to find them, and you'll spend a day.
Yeah.
You know, so. It's
hard to track that stuff.
It's fun. Yeah, I like it.
It is fun, though. Yeah.
It is fun.
Yeah, I can get. I've spent several Saturdays, and I look at my watch, and I'm like, it's 3 o'clock. What did I got here this morning? They're fun to go through.
But, if people are out, and if you ever want to stop and just walk around, because really you got to get out and look at some of these headstones, because they are very impressive.
It's amazing history, locally.
And the funny thing is, like I said in the copy block, the owners never saw them.
Yeah.
They're just, they never
happened
saw
after them. The fact. Yep. Yeah. Hmm. Thomas, thanks for coming in.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Are we back on?
That's it. Bye.
Is the show over now?
We're done.
You got to go?
Yep.
Closing your laptop?
Got to go.
Going home?
Got to go do work.
Taking a nap?
Yep.
Nope. I wish.
Got to go write stories.
Yeah.
Hard-hitting journalism.
As always.
Work.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
As the kids say.
Must go.
I spell it with an E.
Must go create content. Therefore, there are things to discuss on this show.
True. Well, what is the deal with that? It's people spelling it W-E-R-K. That's a trendy way to spell work. Does that mean like you're doing like extra awesome work?
I think that means like work it.
Oh, it's not actual work. It's like work it, sister, kind of thing.
Like you're working that top today.
I sure am.
Listen, as three white men try to describe work.
Listen.
I'm just going to quit.
If you need a go-to place for figuring out modern slang, this is the place. Certainly.
I don't think that it is. I think this is the worst.
Wouldn't that be our wheelhouse?
Yeah. We're hip to that stuff, yo.
I think this is the worst possible place to come for. Maybe we should open up for advice and just do like a Dear Abby episode. And do that.
What does crunk mean? My kids keep using it.
Email us your problems at memo@journalink.com.
I know crunk's kind of
so Brad and Derek 2000. Take them on.
So 2009.
It's not necessarily on fleek anymore.
On fleek is not on fleek anymore. That one kind of
the minute on fleek became on fleek, it stopped becoming.
Yeah,
on,
that one fizzled pretty fast. Yeah, I have to say.
Yeah.
What do my kids keep? One of my kids keeps saying.
Is there a new one?
No. Well, newish. I can't remember. It's my second oldest.
She's so old right now.
I know. She always says it now. I can't remember what it is. So I'll just because I'm old and I forget things.
We'll just text him real quick. What's that word you keep saying, child?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever your name is.
I'll think of it after we're off the air, because that's how things go with me.
Well, on Friday, you can tell us what it is.
I'll probably forget that I even brought this up by that point.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll be back on Friday with weekend update episode.
Mm-hmm. Be entertainment and food and all that fun stuff.
Yep.
Scott Morris, I guess, will be here to review a movie. Jenna Parsons will be here to thump you on the back of the head if you act up.
Don't bring that thing in here.
Oh, I'm totally bringing it in
here.
Scott
will be discussing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I enjoyed the first. I'm sure the second one's good. I would hope. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. No. Well, Scott has. He'll tell us all about it.
Sure.
Okay.
He'll tell us his opinion. He won't tell us all about it. He'll just tell us what he thinks of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how can they find us, Derek?
Online.
Where?
Mm-hmm. Website.
Be specific.
Twitter. Facebook. iTunes.
At DJournal Memo.
Tumblr.
Tumblr? We're not on Tumblr.
We're not on Tumblr. Memo.djournal.com is where you can stream episodes. You can also listen to us through iTunes. Stop interrupting now.
How do I find the Tumblr?
Where's the Tumblr?
That's what I put my whiskey in.
That's that thing in your hand. That's a Tumblr.
No, it's a fidgeter.
And the Tumblr was the Batmobile. And the.
That's right. And the, it was.
What was his name?
Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, but what was the Christian Bale?
That one. Yeah, the Tumblr.
You see, you've totally derailed me now. Memo.djournal.com. You can also find out when new episodes are available by following us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. And all the stories we discussed you can find in your daily journal or online at DJournal.com or through Twitter at DJournalNow.
You know what my son likes to say all the time?
What?
And it's really annoying. Get wrecked.
Get.
Every time he does something that he thinks he, like, beats you at something.
Get
wrecked.
Get wrecked.
Get wrecked.
Freaking wrecked.
Like, I don't know.
I know that one.
Yeah.
Not familiar.
I've heard it way too often. My son's come up with something else.
I think it's just easier to say, you lose.
You'd think so.
You're terrible at everything.
I am superior to you.
Yes. I am your offspring. I beat you at your best game. Father, you are old and know not the ways.
You're now in a state of being wrecked.
Send him to therapy if he starts talking about like that.
No, that'd be kind of cool if he did.
Father, I challenge you. Sit down.
To a duel of wits.
You brought none.
You're unarmed, sir.
All right. Friday.
Friday, we'll see you then.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.